crucified body and pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Grismire. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, the views of Bob Chapman, of the international forecaster, who's been at this even about as long as I have, maybe even a little longer, going back 50 years, watching what's happening financially, and of course, trying to warn people today that terrible times lie ahead, because the people who are in control, and there is a small cabal that's in control that precipitated this whole incredible crisis, and certainly at the time that Henry Paulson last end of September, announced that the financial markets were closed down, everything was in crisis, nobody was lending. He was simply lying, but of course, with the help of the media, they created such a deflationary psychology that by the end of the last quarter of last year, why I think the gross domestic product was down about 6.1%, and it's down, 6.9%. The first quarter of this year, you can do anything when you control the media, you can control the outlook of the American people, and you can destroy some of the finest corporations we have, and I'd say they've done a pretty good job, wouldn't you, Bob?
They certainly have, and as we've said in the past, it's being done deliberately, and it's just a disgrace. And unfortunately, most people don't know that, and if you described it to them, they'd find it hard to believe.
Well, I said they, when they control the media, when they control our ideas, they control our tastes, they control what we like, what we don't like, who we believe in, who we don't believe in. They can vilify anybody they want to. They can build up somebody who really is totally incompetent to make him look like he's very, very capable. When you control the media, you can do whatever you want to, and they have created this deflationary psychology that is, of course, destroying our nation today. I'd like to get your talk on the Chrysler bailout and the fact that the people who hold bonds in that company, the people who own stock in that company are literally going to lose everything, and the people who are going to come out on top are Fiat. Why are we helping Fiat? And, of course, why are we suddenly giving a great deal of 55% of Chrysler to the union that created the problem?
Well, it's first of all, I think probably bondholders might get stock or a settlement. There'll be something for them. Not what they want, probably something around 28 cents on the dollar, which the big bankers accepted, which was J.P. Morgan, Goldman, Citigroup, I think Deutsche Bank was the other one. And so that's probably what will come out of that. They wanted more than that. They may very well have been entitled to more. But, you know, the court system today and, it's controlled by these people. And they do what they want to do.
Some of the finest judges money could buy, just like our politicians. And unfortunately, many of our judges have to have funds so they can run for re-election. And he who pays the piper calls the tune. And very seldom is a judge ever, you know, suddenly convicted of conflict of interest. But this thing goes on all the time, unfortunately. It was once a nation where there were moral standards, but we don't have moral standards anymore. They banned God from our courtrooms and from our schools and prayer. And shouldn't we be surprised that we're seeing what we see today? We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. Well, Bob, pick up the story.
Well, fiat, I think, was brought in by the U.S. government and the bankers in New York, and they want to get 51% of the company, whereas the labor unions want 58%, and the $8.2 billion that the government is additionally putting in would give them 8%, and the government of Canada and Ontario would get 2% of the stock for $2.4 billion. The fiat for that 51%, and of course this is not going to all work out that way, and they keep on changing the rules and moving the chairs around each moment. The fiat wants to use Chrysler's dealerships that are left in the United States to perhaps show their fiat line of products, and they are offering their expertise to Chrysler as well as the promise of a vehicle under Chrysler, it'll get 40 miles per gallon on the road. And if that comes out that way, that's the way it would be. Actually, Fiat stepping in here and getting involved, was not a bad idea. But this morning, they come out and said that they want to buy all of the European dealerships of General Motors, which is Opel. And if they pull that off, there certainly has to be an antitrust situation, both with the U.S. as well as the European governments. But who knows, there's no rules anymore. So they do what they want. The Fiat is a big-time European black nobility company, very, very high up in the Illuminati, so that you can get an idea of why they're involved here. There's a lot of negotiations that are going to have to go on. They've already talked about closing 8 plants and laying off 8,500 of 46,500, I think, is what they've got, or 48,500. And
hold that thought, Bob. We've got to bring our stations back on board, and they'll be here right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob is simply talking about how Fiat is moving in now. Fiat is going to end up with a large part of Chrysler. Fiat wants to buy up all of General Motors or Sydney outlets in Europe, wants to buy up Opel. We have to understand who Fiat is. It was the people who owned Fiat who created the Club of Rome, which is, of course, the European counterpart to the Trilateral Commission, but it is primarily European, just as the Council on Foreign Relations is primarily American. And here, of course, you have all the royal houses of Europe, and you have the leading occultists like Gorbachev and others, Maurice Strong, part of this Club of Rome. And of course, this is Fiat was the one who organized that. Where are they going to get the money to buy up Opel, to buy up all of the outlets there in Europe? Why, of course, they have unlimited funds coming from the banks, because they all work together in concert in what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. Some people call it the Illuminati, but certainly I think I like my term a little bit better. I think it's more descriptive because, of course, it goes into the occult or represents the occult background behind these organizations. Whereas when you talk about the Illuminati, most people do not understand that it is founded in Satanism and belief that there is another God and that Lucifer is a superior God to the God of the Bible. But pick up the story there, Bob.
So I think there is a lot to be done to bring Chrysler out of bankruptcy with some sort of a deal for everybody. It's not surprising, not surprising that the labor unions have been treated more fairly than the bondholders or shareholders, for that matter. And I don't know that they're going to be able to get this done in 1 to 2 months. We'll see. The workers have all been laid off on May 1, so they'll be out of work at least a month. And some of them won't be going back as well. Incidentally, this problem arose because hedge funds refused to accept the deal that was offered to them for $2.5 billion. I don't know how many cents on the dollar that was, but anyway, that was the cause of the bankruptcy. And, of course, these hedge funds are unregulated, and most of them are run from London, although there's a lot of Americans' interest there. And they have the protection of the Cayman Islands laws, which are British laws. So the whole thing is a scam. GM, they're going to use Chrysler as a poster child in their treatment of GM. GM's going to be a much harder deal. You're talking about really major layoffs. And I can't even guess how it's going to work out. But the way I see the economy, and that is slightly better over the next year and a half, but in the final analysis, no real growth, and $12.8 trillion spent, very little to show for it, and that means that people are not buying cars now. Production year on year is down 35-40% worldwide. And so with that in mind, I don't see them at Chrysler and GM being able to sell a sufficient amount of cars to stay in business. And as soon as the stimulus package and the monies that have been injected in the system by the Treasury and the Federal Reserve have worn out, my guess, again, a year and a half from now, then I think that the feds will have the banks start lending the sterilized money that they've got on hand, and that sterilized money is money that they have that they're not using to lend with because they have to keep their balance sheet strong. And so that lending would probably begin a year and a half from now. And it would just add to the hyperinflation that we're going to see at that moment. And that's the way this whole thing is headed. So, number one, none of the banks, none of the financial companies should have ever been bailed out. Chrysler and General Motors, General Electric, AIG, should have never been bailed out. They should have let them go under. And now we get a situation where, because they are in a position they are, the administration's got to do what they're doing right now. And it's all very bad. It was all handled very badly. And I think even the Illuminists are having second thoughts on whether they're going to be able to pull this out. As I said before, I think the only thing that can save them is war, and they're extending it to Pakistan shortly, And then right after they have consolidated Pakistan, the invasion of Iran will begin by Israel. And so that will keep people's eye off of the problems financially and economic in our economy, in the world economy. You get a third world war going and people aren't worried about paying their bills or about any of the other important things that depend upon finance and economy. And they're worried more about getting killed.
Well, of course, one of the things that I don't necessarily see that the automobile market picking up here very, very soon, even Toyota and Honda, which are traditionally, you know, exceptionally very good. Certainly Toyota is the largest producer of cars over there and in Japan, and one of the major producers of cars here in the United States, and even their sales are down dramatically. I mean, their sales down 30% or more, you know, and certainly I think Chrysler was down 45% sales again this month, and GM down another 45%. So, but certainly, you know, they've got to get their sales back up again in a year or two, and all this money that the government's poured into these two corporations is not going to do any good. It's going to be lost. The American taxpayers are going to have to pick it up, and the companies are going to go down anyway.
Exactly.
And of course, this
so
is going
the
to
American taxpayer gets to pay for it all.
Right, and of course, it's not only, of course, the automotive companies, but it's all the suppliers that are going to really be in trouble. And of course, as long as they have this deflationary psychology, as long as people are frightened, as long as the economy is contracting throughout the world, and of course, the world economy, we focus on the American economy, but the world economy has lost about 45% of its value. In other words, 45% of the value of the homes and the stock market and the investments throughout the whole world have simply disappeared in this deflationary cycle, or call it recessionary cycle, call it what you will. Aren't a lot of the other countries in the world a lot worse off than we are?
Well, they are. I think per capita, Europe is worse off, and they ate up all those CDOs, those bonds made up of mortgages, and, you know, it's always interesting to me that there's been no civil or criminal suits on that, which means that they were designated to take the hit.
And I think for our listeners, the CDOs are these fraudulent housing bonds, these bundled bonds that were frankly fraudulent, were sold by a major American banks, and of course then they were guaranteed with derivative contracts. Of course, there wasn't any money behind the insurance policies that guaranteed it, and then they were given a AAA rating by Moody and Standard & Poor's, and these unfortunate banks throughout the world honestly believed that these were worthwhile investments, and they were lied to, and where are the lawsuits? There aren't any. And, of course, I think there are a couple of people who are trying to sue the rating companies, but the courts are saying, well, after all, what is a rating? It's nothing more than just an opinion. You can't sue but somebody for giving their opinion, can't you? And it looks like Moody and Standard & Poor are going to get off scot-free, but the real culprits are major banks that bundle these collateralized debt obligations or CDOs. And, of course, where's the outcry that they be held responsible? And it's deafening and it's silence. And they got away with this thing, and they've destroyed the economy of the whole world, and they did it intentionally because out of chaos will come the desire for the new world order. At least that's my take. What about yours, Bob?
Exactly the same. I have the same philosophy. And, you know, like yourself, Stan, we called so many things over the last 10 years. It's unbelievable. I don't know how we did it, but we did, and it wasn't good news, but a lot of people got out of harm's way, and I'm happy about that, and I'm sure you are.
Well, the people who got out of the stock market before it took the plunge, the people, of course, some of our listeners sold their homes at the top of the market. They're doing very, very well. They've moved to less expensive areas, and I know one of our listeners ended up buying three or four condominiums or three or four duplexes up in the Spokane area, and of course, he doesn't even have to work. He does work, but he doesn't have to. It was just for the profits he got from selling his home here in the Monterey Bay area where I live. So, where the prices were just so ridiculously overinflated. And this was all done intentionally. They knew exactly what they were doing. And how did they do it? They lowered the interest rates to 1% and they kept them there for a year. They expanded the supply of money. They encouraged people to buy homes they couldn't afford. They allowed assessments on the homes that certainly had no basis for them. They had all sorts of creative forms of lending, the adjustable rate mortgages, nothing down, liar's loans, Alt-A loans, all these creative forms of lending, and they knew this whole thing was going to end up in disaster because there were people who were telling them, including the state attorney generals. All 50 of the states wanted to do something, and the Bush administration blocked them, and Alan Greenspan was saying, use derivative contracts, use these alternative various forms of creative financing. Well, Bob, what do you anticipate next? What can people do?
Well, I think those are still...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Or Liberty Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. We have lost approximately 5 million jobs since this economic downturn back in 2007, somewhere in there. And of course, we certainly, gross domestic product contracted 6.1% in the fourth quarter of last year, and about, I think, what was it, 6.5 or 6.9% the first quarter of this year, Bob?
Fourth quarter was 6.3. First quarter was 6.1. I'm projecting 5% in the second quarter, and that's minus 5%, and minus 4% to the end of the year. Next year, I expect it'll be minus 4 to even, and that's as good as it'll get, under all of the things that they've already done. And they are telling everybody that we've hit the bottom, and that they being on Wall Street in Washington, and that things are going to start to flatten out and turn up. It's a false start, believe me. And they've got to come around in a year and a half and raise another $15 trillion, maybe $20 trillion. And it isn't going to happen. And that's when hyperinflation is going to start. And it won't last too long. It'll probably last a year to a year and a half. And by that time, they'll have all their wars going. They'll have a draft, all of those nasty things. And they'll pull the plug. It will lose inflation, have deflation, like they've had in Argentina and in Weimar. And it's going to be a terrible can of worms.
Well, a listener called and asked if we should ask the lender, people we borrowed money, who actually owns the home. Some people say that if you challenge the people you borrowed the money from, you might have a better a bargaining point with them. Simply, usually the people who gave you the mortgage have sold the mortgage to somebody else, or sold it to somebody else, and it got bundled and bought up by, you know, a firm over there in Kazakhstan or wherever it may have been. Anyway, of course, suddenly the question about who owns these homes after the mortgage has been bundled, is there anything to this? Can you get any better terms from your lender by challenging the mortgage?
I'm going to be honest with you, I just don't know.
All right, very
good. I think it's something you should try, though.
All right, because, of course, the people who lent you the money obviously don't own it anymore. A few of them, of course, local banks, keep the mortgage. And, of course, as your home goes down in value, they keep getting in more and more trouble. But so many of the mortgages were simply bundled and then sold throughout the world. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. It's estimated that there are 4 million empty homes across America today, and there are more foreclosures on the way. In fact, there should be a real burst of foreclosures in the coming months, because many of the large companies had actually put a moratorium on foreclosures during the first 3 months of the Obama administration, thinking that something would be done to alleviate the situation. And, of course, they talk a good game, but they have no intention of doing anything any more than Henry Paulson, who went before the American people and promised them that if they just give him the $700 billion, he was going to bail out Main Street. This money was not for Wall Street. Anybody who said the money was for Wall Street was misleading the public. This was for Main Street to help people, you know, stay in their homes. That was in September of last year. And absolutely nothing effectively has been done. There have been a few loans that were renegotiated by the FDIC, and about half of those have gone bad again. And so they talk a good game, but if you understand they're not really trying to solve the problem, then things make a lot more sense. What are your thoughts on that, Bob?
I think you're right. And, when you're on the outside all the time, like I am, making these predictions, it's hard. You know, you got to keep on questioning yourself. Now, you know, is correct, and have I made the right decision? I don't change them too often.
No, of course, the government.
I've been very fortunate.
The government, of course, has the $700 billion TARP program, then the stimulus $787 billion, and then a budget of 3.6 trillion dollars. And of course, the money. Of course, where's the money coming from? They're going to have to start borrowing it, and nobody wants to lend it to us, so they start creating the money. That's what they did in the Weimar Republic. That's what they did in Zimbabwe. We're on a one-way road to monetary destruction, and that's just what they want. Do you know a better way to destroy a nation than to debauch the currency? Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Of course, our guest is Bob Chapman. We're talking about the problems that face America today, as certainly the government keeps spending more and more and more money to create a problem that was created by the government spending more and more and more money. And, of course, this is the problem that when the government lowered the interest rate to 1% and held it there for a year, they had to know this would create a massive housing bubble. And they did everything they could to encourage people to take out these adjustable rate mortgages, to take out the liar's loans, to take out the these nothing down, you know, nothing for a year loans, or the pick and pay loans. You're going to pay the interest, you want to pay the principal, but you don't have to pay both. And well, 3 or 4 years from now, then you're going to have to start picking up the full cost. But think of all the money you'll have made as that house keeps going up. And of course, what happens when the price doesn't keep going up? What happens when the bubble bursts and the price begins to fall? And that's where we are today. Well, certainly, there are an awful lot of people are going to end up of losing their homes in the years that lie ahead, aren't there?
Well, I didn't hear the last thing you said there.
I just said that an awful lot of people are going to lose their homes in the in the months and years that lie ahead.
Yeah, I think over the next 2.5 years, and that'll take us into 2011, maybe even to 2012. And commercial will still be frozen. The banks no position to take all these commercial loans back. Plus, their credit card situation is really dreadful. They're looking at 10% non-pays, and I think the banks are going to get into much further problems.
Hold that thought there. Hold that thought, Bob. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess is Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we do have a caller who called in with a question. But before we get to that, Bob, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the International Forecast, or how they can get a copy, how they can subscribe if they want to. And I will tell you that that I certainly look forward in International Forecaster is it comes in twice a week, 25 or 30 pages of information that everyone needs if they hope to survive in this tragic situation we're in. And remember those words of Richard Russell, "He who loses the least wins." We are all going to lose, ladies and gentlemen. We are all going to lose. It's just he who loses the least. Because this is no place to make a great fortune. It is simply an effort to preserve that which you've worked your whole life for and which they are intent upon destroying through the ravages of inflation or the falling stock market or the falling value of your pension or the falling value of your insurance as they destroy the value of our currency and purposely and intentionally and maliciously impoverish our people. But then impoverished people will go along with this idea of the one world government, not only here but throughout the world. The first time in the world we've ever been able to collapse the entire world economy intentionally, and out of the coming chaos will come the new world order. Bob, why don't you go ahead and get the information out on the International Forecaster?
Well, the Forecaster is published via email on Wednesdays and Saturdays, runs around 35 or 40 pages each time. We have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. We're about business, finance, economics, social, political issues all over the world. If you'd like a free introductory copy, you can go to the site. That address is theinternationalforecaster.com, theinternationalforecaster.com. You can email us, and that address is bob@intforecaster.com. bob@intforecaster.com, or you can call toll free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. My understanding is a lot of the major insurance companies are in real trouble. A lot of the major pension funds are in real trouble. They were investing in things like Chrysler and General Motors and so many of the other major corporations in America where the value of the bonds is simply collapsing because the income of these companies is collapsing.
Well, you've got Lincoln, the Hartford Group, Travelers, and lots of others that have problems. Otherwise, they wouldn't be looking for government assistance. That's going to continue to get worse as the market goes back down and tests 6,600 on the Dow, and that will happen. We break the 4,000, they're in serious trouble. And that's why I've told people, if you have cash value life insurance policies or annuities, get out of them. Now, another thing that's really negative is the 30-year U.S. Treasury bond broke down below its 200-day moving average about a week and a half or two ago. Now, this past week, the 10-year note has also broken down. And we projected when the 2-year was 235 that it would go to 350 by the end of the year. It was 316 today. This is the yield. And I think it will easily get to 350. It could go higher. And this is being caused by the tremendous demand for funds. The people at the trough, so to speak, corporations, governments, they're selling bonds as fast as possible. And, of course, the U.S. Treasury is having trouble. So that means the yield's got to go up to attract more money in. And there's a crowding out process going on. The corporates get crowded out first, and then the lesser quality government paper gets crowded out of the market, whereby they, like the corporations, can't raise funds unless the interest rates were to go higher. And so this dream, and it's a dream only, of the U.S. government being able to help people with mortgages is just that, a dream, because the rates are going up. Recently, we've seen between 4.5 and 4 7/8, maybe 5, on 30-year fixed-rate mortgages. That's the lowest they've ever been. And they're not going to stay there. And I predicted that those rates would move up by June, and I think I'm going to be right on again. And that would be up to 5 1/8, 5 1/4, and so on. And if we're going to see 3.50 on the 10-year treasuries, then we're going to see rates at least 0.75 points higher than 4 3/4. So you're looking at 5.5% rates on 30-year fixed. And usually the mortgages trade a point to a point and a quarter above the 10-year treasury. So the spread is starting to spread out even at 3.50. That would make it 4.75. And if they only move up to 4 1/4, the mortgages are still cheap by 0.5 point because of the intercession into the market by the U.S. Treasury and the Federal Reserve.
All right, fine. Well, of course, basically what we're seeing today is a situation where the government is desperate for money, and they suddenly are going to have taken an additional $2 trillion. In other words, the deficit this year, the federal deficit, would accumulate in 1 year at least $2 trillion, perhaps even more than that. But remember, it took the American government 200 years to accumulate the first $1 trillion of debt. And from 1787 and 1789 up until 1979-1980, we had accumulated $1 trillion in debt. Right now we're accumulating $2 trillion of debt in one year. Where is this going to end? Is it going to be we have to get more and more and more debt every year?
Well, I think, Stan, in the next year and a half to 2 years, probably a year and a half, maybe even less, we're looking $4 to $5 trillion that the U.S. Treasury will sell to the Federal Reserve, plus the money that and the Fed creates that money out of thin air, and plus we're looking at them, they're spending about $900 billion buying this crummy paper in the marketplace. And it's almost worthless. And if they add that on at the same kind of rate, say they add another $2 trillion, we're looking at $6 trillion, maybe $7. The whole thing is insane. And when I, you know, read the periodicals and listen to the radio and watch television, you know, it's the same government, Wall Street, banking, patented story. Everything's going to be all right. Just don't worry about it. And that is not the way this is going to work out. All of the old saws since the Second World War have been put to rest. It doesn't make any difference anymore. This thing's going down. It's going down hard.
Well, the Chinese.
That's why we're on the air to help you people, because we've been so right, and we can be wrong, but the chances of us being right are 99%, and the chances of the expert being right are 30%.
But what about China? How long is China going to keep purchasing our bonds when, of course, the rate of inflation, I mean, they're getting maybe 3% interest, and the rate of inflation is 6 or 7% interest anyway, maybe even much higher than that. And we know that down the line it's really going to go through the roof. How long is China going to keep throwing away the money that they've worked, their people have worked so hard to accumulate?
I got a report this morning from Singapore. Reuters has said that activity of gold buying in China has picked up. And obviously they're buying from Singapore and other places. And so I think they're jettisoning dollars as quickly as they can without hurting the price. But the price is going down on the dollar. It just hit a new one-year low today. And I've got the numbers and on Wednesdays, for Wednesday's international forecast, so you'll see them. They'll be in the gold section. But we're fast headed down. We got a head and shoulders formation on the U.S. dollar. And we predicted 2 months ago that it topped at 89.5, and we were dead on again. And so 82.5 is an important place, and it's just over 84 right now. Dollar's gone down 4 days in a row, and that hasn't happened for a long time. And so the flash of liquidity in dollars into the marketplace is really creaming the dollar now. And so it could, by the end of the year, get back to the 71.16 to 73 area. And that's possible. Probably next year, but it's possible this year. And I can't help but think that that would put upward pressure on gold, because if that currency is going down, which expresses gold, then gold is going to fly. And gold for the last 5 years has gone up against every currency.
But my understanding is Goldman Sachs and some of the other big banks are actually shorting gold. They have over there in the Tokyo Exchange, they're shorting gold to manipulate the market to drive the price down. Is that true?
Absolutely. The only thing is that in the gold section, we follow the Tokyo market, and we're not going to be able to do it shortly because the Japanese have bowed to the desires of Goldman Sachs to let anybody know what the commercials are doing. And what, in the meantime, Goldman has done is putting their orders to another house. They're breaking all the rules, but nobody cares.
Well,
there
because Goldman is
part. Wall Street does what it wants.
Goldman is part of the Trilateral Commission, just like J.P. Morgan and Chase, and certainly Mr. Geithner and Mr. Summers and Paul Volcker are all tied into them. The head of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, the key Federal Reserve Bank, has a lot of stock in Goldman Sachs. Mr. Liddy, who heads AIG, they just gave Goldman Sachs $12.5 billion. And then, you know, he's got a lot of stock in AIG, and certainly Henry Paulson, who is the Secretary of the Treasury, who said we couldn't let AIG go down, and then put Mr. Liddy in, who's got the ties to the AI. Mr. Paulson was the CEO of Goldman Sachs. Certainly, does our government control Goldman Sachs, or does Goldman Sachs control our government?
Well, that's a simple question to answer, and that is that Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase and Citigroup control the United States government.
And, of course, they are all represented in the current 87 people who are members of the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission. And you need, of course, to get in my newsletters on November and December of last year, January and February of this year at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Or get our membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness is a syllabus and gives you all the members of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Group of 30, and incidentally, of course, there you find Mr. Geithner, Mr. Summers, Paul Volcker, only 30 people, six of them come from the Trilateral Commission, only 87 members there, but also the head of the Bank of China. What is a communist doing sitting on the board with a capitalist? Well, these people really aren't capitalists, they're authoritarianists. They believe in a ruling elite in America, just like they believe in a ruling elite in China. But, of course, they can't tell the common people that. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. That was the Group of 30. You can look it up on the Internet, or hopefully you want to get the membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness. We put it together. It's great to have. And the information there, you really need to have at your fingertips, because you can't tell the players without a program. And you're sure not going to get the information from the New York Times or the Washington Post or the St. Louis Post-Dispatch or the Los Angeles Times, because they're all part and parcel of the Brotherhood of Darkness, along with Newsweek and U.S. News and World Report and Time Magazine. And once you begin to understand that, you can understand why most people have no idea of how they engineered this whole collapse of Western civilization. Well, Bob, what can people do at the present time, and what do you tell them to do?
Well, the most important thing is to get some freeze-dried and dehydrated food in, a minimum of 6 months. Have a good filter to filter water in case it's not readily available in the usual form. Have weapons to defend your family. If you can afford it, have a generator, a diesel-powered generator. Gold and silver coins for bartering purposes and the preservation of wealth. For those who are relatively wealthy, you can include gold and silver shares, which perform very well. And that's it. I don't have anything else to add. I told you what not to do, telling you what to do, and we've been right. And I hope to God we continue to be so.
Well, I hope so as well, because I know a lot of people are looking to you for advice and guidance in times like this, which are indeed frightening. Well, we've got Ron calling here. Let's talk to Ron. And he's calling from, Wisconsin. Hi, Ron. Do you have a quick question?
Yes, I do. I wanted to ask Bob, as far as talking about gold, what does he recommend for the guy who's really never bought gold? What do you start with as far as buying gold?
Well, let's assume that you have $10,000, and I would spend $2,000 on junk silver coins and perhaps $4,000 on gold bullion coins and $4,000 on gold numismatic mint state graded coins. That would give you a good cross-section in the coin area. And we recommend coin dealers. We have three of them we recommend. So you got a choice, and you don't want to buy ungraded numismatic coins. You don't want to buy commemoratives. You don't want to hear the horror stories.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. And hang on there, Ron. Will be back in just a moment.
Okay.
Bob, go right ahead.
And so. We recommend honest dealers that will give you a...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com. or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-.
If you really want to understand what's going on, we've got a great new 4-CD set. It's called Financial Armageddon, and of course it's interviews with people we think have something worthwhile to say. Then we have a talk we gave about 3 years or so ago. It was called Financial Tsunami, and it comes with a syllabus that you want to get. It explains what was going to happen and, of course, the background of what's happening financially. We have two little pamphlets that we put together based upon our newsletters. You can go up on the Internet and read the newsletters. They're all posted at RadioLiberty.com. But the pamphlets are inexpensive, and we think they're great to have. I know I refer to them. It's called The History of Money and Financial Meltdown. Those are two important little pamphlets. Each one's about 50 pages, crammed full of information that you need to have to understand what's going on. We carry a book called The Coming Battle. It was written in 1889 by a Mr. Wahlberg, a lawyer, who was talking about, of course, what was happening at that time and the fact that the banks were eventually going to take control of our nation. That is written over, 120 years ago, but it's very apropos for today. And then a book written in 1935 called The Money Creators, written by Gertrude Krugen, who was actually asked to write another book by a group of very wealthy men. They paid her very well to write a book on the history of money, and then, of course, when she finished the book and asked, when will my book be printed, they said, never. Your book will never be printed. And that's the truth. If you want to see what's going on, of course, the book by Professor Carol Quigley, one of the most eminent historian of the last century, according to Samuel Huntington, the professor at Harvard. Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, explains banking very well. In fact, we quote this very often on our newsletters. And, of course, Professor Quigley, we have an interview with him where he tells you that they came and they bought up the publisher to his book, Macmillan, back in 1966 or 67, and destroyed the place in the first half of the book so it could never be reprinted. And then, of course, the tape interview explains, of course, how the book came to be back in print. Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, one of the most important books you will ever read, and you can get that by itself or with the taped interview or with the Tragedy and Hope special. We actually carry the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton, and then his book on the Trilateral Commission. We carry the book, Fiat Money Inflation in France. You need to have these things. You need to get our 4-CD set on the financial Armageddon. You need to get this information and start making your plans accordingly, because most people are going to be impoverished before this is over, because it's an organized effort to create chaos in America. And if you doubt that, you need to read Henry Kissinger's January 12th, 2009 newsletter in the International Herald Tribune. That's Henry Kissinger, January 12th, 2009 International Herald Tribune. If you don't have access to the article, we'll send it to you if you get something else from us. But Henry Kissinger lays it all out. You have two choices for the whole world. It's either join the new international order or face chaos. And that's what they intend. They're going to bring chaos to the rest of the world. They're going to bring chaos to the United States. And, of course, I believe that the next flu epidemic, because the last one was simply a trial run to see how they could frighten everybody to death. I mean, with 5,000 people dying every day of AIDS and 2,000 people dying every day of malaria because we outlawed DDT, why were they so concerned? Because 12 or 15 people died in Mexico of an epidemic which is already dying out. It was simply a trial run, ladies and gentlemen. There's going to be the next trial, and they have created these terrible new diseases. The next one will be disastrous because it will destroy the economy of the world and plunge it into chaos. And so our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. You from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and of course, for the, well, the next hour, they're going to be the views of Janet, who has her own radio program and certainly is trying to get information out on so many important issues. And we're going to be talking about a couple of them this evening, one about the conservatorships and the corruption with the conservatorship program and the courts in many parts of our country. And, well, we'll let Janet pick up the story from there. Hi, Janet. How did you happen to get interested in this conservatorship problem?
Well, I became aware of what was going on in conservatorships because of what happened to my own mother under a conservatorship. And actually, it's sort of fitting that we're doing the show tonight because May 4th is the anniversary of my mother's passing. And my mother's passing was directly tied to the actions of her conservator.
All right,
it is that bad. The reason that I entitled the series that I wrote on this, and the series I wrote has been nominated for Project Censored for this year, I entitled it The Probate Murders, not just the probate thefts, but the probate murders, because what is happening in these conservatorships is that the conservator, well, when a person goes under a conservatorship, the conservator gets basically all the assets are transferred to the quote-unquote care of the conservator. But very often, under conservatorship of the person's rights get transferred to the conservator. So if a person's under a conservatorship, they may not be able to, they will not be able to choose where they live. They will not be able to choose whether or not they see their family. They may not be able to choose if they get, if they should they fall ill, if they get life-saving medicine. So we can see where there's, when there's money tied into the mix here, as there is, obviously, because of the assets being transferred to the conservator, that we have a situation that is just open to the most horrific sorts of abuses.
Well, now, Chris, why wouldn't somebody in the family be named as a conservator?
Well, unfortunately, why? The big question is why, isn't it? Because what we have seen is that these professional conservators who stand to make quite a bit of money from, you know, the assets of the elderly person are very generally favored over a family member. Now, why this is, you know, may go to the heart of the problem here. Unfortunately, the courts seem to be really shoveling people into these conservatorships where they are very often treated, you know, with some abuse.
Well, is this basically because somebody then becomes incompetent and unable to manage their own affairs? I mean, how would the courts even become involved in something of this sort?
Well, usually there are allegations that a person is becoming incompetent or maybe getting forgetful. The allegations do not necessarily need to be proven, which is another problem. We have a situation...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Janet Phelan talking about conservatorships, a real problem across America. Janet, go right ahead.
Right. We have a situation now up in Portland where a 48-year-old woman who was married to a very wealthy Republican business owner, very wealthy, was put under a conservatorship during her divorce proceedings in order essentially to rob her of her divorce settlement. So the allegations, and I met this woman, by the way, she looks like a Vogue model. She is very smart. She's college educated. She raised three children. But the husband had ties, you know, had deep ties, shall we say. So this is what happened. The woman does not have Alzheimer's. Yeah. There was no indications that the woman was mentally ill. So basically, when there is money, as we know, Dr. Monteith, there is very often, you know, somebody who wants that money, who doesn't have that money and wants that money. So very often elderly people have, you know, some sort of a nest egg, and if a person, let's say there's an elderly woman, her husband has died, she may have, there may be a daughter or son who is becoming financially predatory. The other daughter or son, you know, may become alarmed, and all you have to do is make a call to Adult Protective Services or to the police, and, you know, as soon as you get the officials involved, this can end up as a court matter, and a conservator can be appointed to, quote-unquote, protect the elderly person from the predation. So what happens is the predatory conservator, you know, may be appointed. I'm not saying that they're all like this. I'm not saying that all the conservators or guardians, those words are interchangeable. I'm not saying that they are all necessarily, you know, felonious, murderous lawbreakers. I'm saying that the field is wide open for those kinds of people to move in and take control, and this is what we are seeing. This has become such a large problem that there are several national groups that have formed in order to try to combat this issue. There is the Advocates for National Guardianship Ethics and Reform. There is Stop Abusive Conservatorships Now.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment with Janet Phelan right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Janet Phelan. We're talking about the conservatorships, and she says, you know, that let's imagine, that, of course, that, well, she gave one example where a husband wanted to get back at his wife after that, and his wife was bright and certainly a very attractive woman who'd been able to raise three children, but, of course, the husband had very tight connections with the local law enforcement, and he filed a complaint of incompetence against his wife, who had a large divorce settlement, and the conservator simply took it over so that she couldn't get her hands on her own money. This happens with an elderly person. One of the children perhaps wants to get some of the money away. The other child is concerned that the mother is being abused, and so what do they do? Why, of course, they go to Adult Protective Services, and then they appoint a conservator, and some of the conservators may be fine, but some of them are really very, very predatory, and the problem is that apparently that this is such a problem across America, you're not hearing about it because the media is controlled, but that they've actually organized several national groups to try to address this problem, a problem you're not going to hear about because, well, the media, for one reason or another, doesn't want to pick up on this, but you go ahead with this story there. You're naming some of these groups that have been created nationwide to try to protect the old people from predatory conservators?
Right. And you know, what we are seeing is, given the consistency of the stories of abuse and the types of abuse, that what we're seeing really seems to be a national almost program. And this has some interesting sorts of repercussions, because if you have an elderly person who has quite a bit of money and the conservator or guardian moves in and sort of depletes the assets, then the heirs, of course, won't get the money.
Well, this
so not only... Sorry.
I was just going to, a very good friend of mine, there was, of course, this wasn't a conservator, it was a matter of a large estate, and of course, they couldn't decide which one of the children was going to be the executor, so they appointed another executor, and that executor has delayed, any distribution of the goods. He's getting $15,000 a month just to sit there and do nothing and delay the distribution of the money. And this has been going on for a year and a half or more. This is the sort of thing that can go on. I'm sure it can go on with the conservative as well as with the executors, can't it?
Yes. Oh, well, absolutely. Conservatorships are very expensive. Some of these conservators, I've heard tell of, in New York State, some of them are charging as much as $300 an hour. So these are, you know, these are very lucrative fields to go into. Unfortunately, what we are seeing is that the judges tend to go along with the conservators, even when issues of fraud and abuse are brought to the attention of the judges. Very often, they are going along with the professional conservators, and some folks, like my own mother, are suffering so much abuse by the conservator that they're really being abused to death. And given something interesting happened this last year. There was a woman named Latifah Ring who was also battling this conservatorship problem, and she was a delegate to the Democratic National Convention, and she pulled together a national task force, and I was part of this task force, and we hammered out a platform proposal to go to the Platform Planning Committee for the DNC, and we worked very hard on this. It was very comprehensive. It had victim stories attached to it as well. And lo and behold, it got bottlenecked, and there was a point person at the DNC who squelched and sat on this platform proposal, so it never even made it to the planning committee.
Are a lot of the people lawyers?
In some states they are, in some states they aren't.
Right.
In New York, a lot of them tend to be lawyers. In some states they are. I know in California, There is now a professional fiduciary association, and mostly they're not lawyers in California, but it really varies from state to state. But the problem has become a national problem, and to, you know, augment the problem is that the system seems to be supporting and endorsing the abusive practices rather than operating as if there are any sorts of checks and balances, which, you know, which always makes one wonder what's really going on here. If the bad apples, if the scum is rising to the top and really controlling the situation, one would wonder why the judges are going along with it, Adult Protective Services is going along with it, the police are very often squelching and hiding and burying reports about abusive conservators. So it's becoming very obvious that this is a problem that isn't going away and that seems to have systemic support.
And what a terrible, terrible tragedy. And the thing is that most Americans are totally unaware of this because it is being ignored by the major media. And if they don't focus our attention on it, we don't even know what's happening until it may be one of our parents that becomes victimized by this. So did they pretty well delete your mother of her holdings during this? How long was she under the conservatorship?
My mother was under conservatorship less than 3 years. They did not totally deplete the holdings, but they certainly depleted my mother over her life. One of the reasons I wanted to come on the air and talk about this today is that we are now having some success in getting some appropriate attention to some of the worst abuses that I know of going on, which are happening in Redlands, California. When I wrote my series, The Probate Murders, about a year and a half ago, it was published in the American's Bulletin, where I was working as a reporter at that time. The second in the series was focused on what's going on in Redlands, which is really just about the worst-case scenario in terms of systemic collusion surrounding one particular conservatorship company. And at this date, we do have a criminal grand jury which has been called, which is investigating Melody Scott, who is a conservator in Redlands, California. And we have also been successful in the sense that her professional fiduciary license has been pulled, and she can no longer work as a professional fiduciary or conservator. So there are a bunch of people who have been victimized by Melody Scott, and there has been quite a bit of effort to get the system to behave appropriately concerning the alleged crimes that she has committed against people. At this point, we've made some progress.
Now, you mentioned, of course, that your mother had been deprived of her life. What happened to your mother? How did they bring about her demise?
Some of the circumstances surrounding my mother are still shrouded in some clouds of secrecy. But I will say that when my mother was under a conservatorship, the conservator put a couple of caregivers in my mother's home to make sure my mother didn't need any caregivers, but suddenly there they were, and the caregivers were to give my mother her medicine. My mother had been a heart patient, and the caregivers, while they were giving my mother some medicine, they neglected to give her heart medicine for 2 months, and as a result of that, my mother almost died. Neglected. So the intentionality surrounding this became quite clear when, like I said, I was very close with my mother, and I began to notice my mother wasn't doing so well, and then suddenly my mother wasn't doing well, and I was living in Los Angeles at the time, and I drove to Temecula after my mother said she was getting sick. My mother was terribly sick. I'd never seen her, you know, so badly off. She could hardly walk. I had no idea what was happening. I took her to the hospital. I took her to the emergency room. She was given, she was fibrillating. She was given life-saving cardiac surgery. They put in a pacemaker. And 2 days later, I was served with a restraining order. And the conservator actually went to court and said that in the face of all the evidence, she said, I had unnecessarily taken my mother to the hospital, thereby causing grave emotional harm to my mother, and I needed to be restrained. Now, there's this, the use of restraining orders to separate concerned and loving family members from the conservatee is unfortunately a almost a standard, you know, operating practice. There, I was on the phone with a woman earlier tonight who is also battling a corrupt conservatorship. This has to do with her father. And the brother of this woman showed up at the family home, took some photographs which, you know, documented that there was abuse going on against the father, and found himself slapped with a restraining order as well. So generally, if you're dealing with corruption, the corrupt parties will try to separate off the conservatee from people who
need to. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Janet Palin talking about the problem with the conservatorships, and whenever you get involved with a court system where there is no God, where there is no standards, moral standards, then should we be surprised? Well, go right ahead, Janet. And, of course, what...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. 8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Yes, I was able to see my mother before she died. Yes, I was. You know, this issue with these restraining orders is very serious because not only, you know, does restraining orders are handed out really pretty much like candy at the court. You don't have to prove anything. You can go to court and say this person did this or that. And the judge simply hands these out. And along, it has been pointed out to me that along with, you know, losing a right of association, people who have restraining orders also lose their Second Amendment rights. Now, I've never been a gun owner. I'm simply not of that ilk. But if a person is, you know, is handed out one of these restraining orders, they do lose their Second Amendment rights. So it's a sort of interesting sort of manifestation of what's going on now in our country and the ways that the system does have to not only tear apart families, but to, you know, take away what are our basic constitutional rights.
Okay, so was this just a temporarily thing? Or was this a permanent thing as far as your right to have a weapon?
I understand that. Well, see, that's a very good question, and I really don't know the answer to that.
All right, let's go to Herman calling from Carmel. Again, our telephone number, if you're out there across America, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Go right ahead, Herman.
Yes, good evening. Fascinating topic. I happen to be involved in residential care for the elderly, administering care homes, and I have seen abuses over the years. One of the ways in which conservatorships can be created is if you have a son or daughter who maybe gets on drugs or has other problems, and then the mother in this case, I'm thinking of on purpose, set things up so that he could not abuse her finances anymore. He used to live in the home and keep getting money from her. Well, now that the person is under full conservatorship, there are very expensive costs attached to that, and the family has to virtually go hat in hand begging to the conservator. And if there are any problems, then the conservator simply goes to the court and holds that over the head. But also, I've seen a case some years ago where a lady who really, I mean, she was old, but she wanted to live, and there was, I think, collusion between a CPA person who was handling her monies and then a nurse and visiting nurse, a friend who basically at the hospital made a decision that she needed to go on to heaven. And I think the lady could have lived longer. But, again, sometimes these are subjective decisions, but it makes you wonder.
All right,
I think it's very important. I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I think it's very important, that a very important point you just made, because what we are seeing is that the conservators make end-of-life decisions, and some of them seem to be rather inappropriate. For example, should a conservatee get pneumonia, okay, which is very unfortunately common among the elderly, the conservator does have power of health care, and we are seeing where conservators are ordering that an elderly person who is only diagnosed with pneumonia, you know, not get antibiotics and therefore dies of pneumonia. We are seeing those orders happen. There's a situation out in Florida where an elderly woman was put under a conservatorship, and she was diagnosed with colitis. Somehow that got transferred onto paper only as colon cancer. The woman was put into hospice. She was plied inappropriately with morphine, and in 10 days she was dead of morphine.
And I think this happens much more commonly than of course, than most people realize. And of course, it's all part of this idea that, well, of course, you know, is their life worth living? And the doctor makes that decision, not the family, not the patient. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. And this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Janet Palin. Herman, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Well, I wanted to bring up one other scenario, and I have seen this happen with someone in our community. And this is a lady who had a home in Carmel and sold for about $1 million. And she went into an assisted living facility, but there was one, there were four or five children, and one of them was against anything that others would agree to for the mother, and went out and got lawyers. And so now, for the last few years that I've heard of, there are just constant battles. The only ones that are making out are the lawyers. And every move that is made has to be passed through the lawyers. And, of course, the judge. So now the lady's resources are being drastically reduced very fast, and the lady is still in good shape, but it's because of one daughter. So I urge the people who are listening to this program to think ahead in your own family's situation and see if you can't head off some of these potential problems. And I'd like to get your guest's comments on this, and I'll take the answers off the air.
All right, fine. Thank you, Herman. How would you head something like that off, Janet?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, people used to think that putting everything into a living trust would be the appropriate way of protecting assets. But we're seeing now where the judges are often busting trusts as well, and doing so without much legal justification. So we've got a real problem here. You know, I wanted to kind of step back for a minute and you know, point out that that famous play King Lear by William Shakespeare was really all about inheritance and greed. And so this is not a new phenomenon. People get elderly, they get vulnerable. Very often people will want to prey on the vulnerable. The problem here is the system is supposed to protect the elderly and the vulnerable, and instead the system is actually encouraging the predation.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest discourse this evening is Janet Phelan. We're talking about the problem of conservatorships and the care of the elderly, especially when there is either fights between the children or certainly where, of course, the children are excluded from care by the conservator if they have a close working relationship with the courts. And then the conservator can simply bleed the funds of the individual for their own benefit. And, of course, the individual, the person they're supposed to be looking after, is of little importance. Well, certainly our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But before we go on, Janet, I want to get your web page out or any information that you'd like to offer to our listeners tonight.
Yes. My webpage, if you go to Cosmic Penguin, like the bird, cosmicpenguin.com, near the top of the page, there is a Janet Phelan link. Cosmic Penguin is not my website, but that gentleman is hosting my webpage. So go to cosmicpenguin.com, click on Janet Phelan link, and that will take you to my webpage. At the top of the page, it does have the Probate Murders series and a number of other articles, you know, scrolling on down that I've authored as well. Also, I'd like to give a little plug for my radio show. I'm now on Liberty News Radio, and I'm on every Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. Central Time. Just picked up another affiliate out in Nebraska, but for those who like to listen on the Internet, you can go to LibertyNewsRadio.com.
All right, fine. Let's go to Jeannie, who's calling from Aptos. Hi, Jeannie. And again, our telephone number, if you're out in the listening audience, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Go right ahead, Jeannie.
I have a question, Dr. Stan. Also, I have a very interesting happening or story. But I want to ask Janet, what do you think of the senior legal services in every county? Have you come across them?
I'm not so sure. I don't think I'm really going to comment on that. I am aware, that Adult Protective Services is functioning very much in many counties as an arm of the conservatorship machine,
right,
in terms of locating people to funnel into conservatorships. As far as senior legal services, I haven't seen much effectiveness on the part of those sorts of agencies, but I am not well-versed enough to be able to comment.
Okay, Jeannie, any other questions?
Yes, Dr. Stan. We followed a case here in Santa Cruz County on conservatorship, and I'll tell you, what we learned was complete corruption of the system. And it was a man that was diagnosed as having bipolar, and even his children wanted him under conservatorship. So I have a friend that is not a lawyer, but a very good in legal situations. And we followed that case, and actually one day I went into court, and this man was on the other side, and I happened to sit on the other side where the DA and the lawyers were trying this case against him for the county. And I heard a woman, she was right beside me, she was a lawyer of Santa Cruz County, I won't name any names, but she is the wife of the current Santa Cruz County city manager. And she said, well, we'll get this guy into a hospital over in San Jose for about 3 days, and we'll get a ruling on him that he's incompetent and he cannot manage his monies. Now, he had quite a bit of money in the banking system. Well, my friend actually did get him out of conservatorship, and now he has control of his money. But I'll tell you, when I heard that lawyer from Santa Cruz County, who's married to an elected official, saying that they were going to get this man in the hospital and have him declared incompetent, that's when I started learning that a lot of the DA prosecutors, senior legal services, and also some of our supervisors in Santa Cruz County and the judges get paid under their robe, and that's what it's all about, Dr. Stanley.
I'm afraid.
Janet, and I can say these things. I know Janet has to be careful, but it's all about money and paying everybody off.
Well, I think if we have the finest judges in many instances that money could buy. Thanks very much, Jenny. Anything else before we let you go?
That's it. Thanks
God
for the
bless
program.
You. And, of course, you have to wonder why the judges aren't really interested in justice. Now, some of them are. Some of them are already dedicated. But, unfortunately, some of them are not. In fact, we recently saw this instances in the back in the East where the judges were actually sending innocent children to something called the prep schools, or specifically, I think they called it boot camps. They're very innocent kids. They should have got a slap on the wrist and said they were sent there for a long period of time because the judges were getting paid off by these private concerns. They're getting paid by the local municipality and local community. And there were two judges, and they got off with a slap on the wrist. They sent literally hundreds of innocent children into these detention facilities. And where is the outcry saying, why do judges get special consideration? I think a judge who, of course, does anything corrupt should spend the rest of his life in prison because, of course, he corrupts the whole legal system. But then, of course, why would we expect that when so many of the other judges are doing the same thing, only they haven't been caught? Go right ahead.
Yes. Well, one of the things that I've started doing very lately is I contact, and this is in California, we have the Fair Political Practices Commission up in Sacramento, and all of the judges are supposed to file Form 700, which are their financial disclosure forms. And I thought that it might be interesting to get my hands on some of these, and they're certainly public record. And I found some, you know, some pretty interesting things. For example, Judge Michael Welch, who is the Redlands probate judge, and he's really hearing almost all of the probate in San Bernardino County now. He's up in his, must be in his 60s. He's been a judge for quite a while. He declares year after year to the FPVC that he has no income property and no investments. In fact, he just, you know, there are no exhibits attached to his Form 700. He simply checks that he has nothing to declare. Now, I find that astonishing. That a man who would be working in the legal profession for all these years would have no investments. In fact, I did a little internet research. His name is actually James Michael Welch, and lo and behold, next county over in Riverside, there is a James Michael Welch, who there is a trust established of which a James Michael Welch is the trustee. I have not gone as far in my research to see what assets are in that trust, but I'm sure it couldn't be the same James Michael Welch because Judge James Michael Welch declared no assets. So, you know, that was quite an eye-opener. Also, Judge Stephen Cunnison, who had been for many years the probate judge in Riverside County, actually has a business interest in a cemetery. Which I guess I found that nothing more than ironic.
All right, fine, Krista. That could be just a coincidence, but you always have to wonder. Well, is there anything else you want to talk on this subject, or you had another subject you wanted to cover?
Oh, you know, there's so much to talk about these days. I really appreciate, you know, the opportunity to talk about this. The Melody Scott situation, and I do believe, really, that what is going on down in Redlands, California, is really the worst-case scenario as far as conservatorship collusions go. Melody Scott is having, there's going to be a hearing in Oakland Administrative Court of Hearings, I believe, May 26th, 27th, and 28th. She is appealing the decision that revoked her fiduciary license. So, you know, this story is ongoing. We will see what sort of defense she mounts against the allegations made against her. Gosh, there's a lot going on. I sent you an article that I had written fairly recently concerning internal affairs practices.
Internal affairs practices in the police departments. Go ahead.
Right. I know that there is a lot of concern among people that the police are exhibiting quite a bit of bravado these days. They're, you know, marching around tasering people, and there's a lot of concern about police abuse. And I was very lucky. I developed a source inside a police department in a town in Oregon, and the source leaked to me internal affairs summaries. Now, internal affairs is basically, you know, your last pit stop for redress in most situations if you feel that there has been police abuse. Other, of course, than, you know, going to court and suing the police department, and it's hard to find a lawyer to do that these days. But after viewing these internal affairs summaries, basically said what the complaint was, what the disposition was, whether the person was notified or not, I realized to my chagrin that nearly all of the cases, of the ones I was given anyway, where the, you know, someone had made an allegation that the police behaved abusively or inappropriately, they were all being decided in the favor of the police. So I took it upon myself to contact the complainants because their names were listed in these summaries, and I found a very disturbing pattern. Basically, the complainants were very often being told the opposite. They were being told that their complaint had been processed and the officer had been given, you know, a reprimand or further training, or they were being lied to. The complainants were being lied to because their own internal records were saying that over and over again they were blowing off the complaints. The Internal Affairs Department was blowing off the complaints about the police officers, while they were telling the complainants the opposite. So this was, you know, this was a rather disturbing sort of realization. I was hardly surprised, given the level of corruption going on in our legal system and our justice agencies now. There was that, and there was also some other details going on. It turns out that there was some revelations of police officers lying on reports, you know, and so on. But we all know that that happens from time to time. But it was the regularity and consistency of this revocation of our rights to petition for redress. We have a First Amendment right to petition the government for redress, and that is essentially what one does when one contacts internal affairs and say, this police officer did me wrong.
Well, I think
so this article was formally presented fairly recently to the city of Medford, Oregon, which is where the article, you know, focused on that police department. The city of Medford, Oregon, is somewhat unique in the cities in the surrounding areas because it does have a citizen police oversight commission. And unfortunately, you know, we know how corruption goes. The Citizen Police Oversight Commission immediately referred the article and the documentation back to Internal Affairs so that Internal Affairs could investigate itself. So that was another eye-opening experience for me.
Well, it's unfortunate. I think most police officers try to do a pretty good job, but there'll always be bad apples out there. And there has to be redress for the citizens, or, of course, if one person get away with it, then other people would feel that they have that right. And certainly, of course, increasingly, there's this attitude, it's us against them. I mean, we're here to defend the law, and the other people are out there. We have to control them. And increasingly, we find this bureaucratic mentality, and it shouldn't be there. The police officers are there to be the servants of the people. We need them. We need to cooperate with them. But they have to, of course, respect the individuals. And I don't know how commonly this happens, I would hope it doesn't happen very often. Have you found this in any other police departments?
Well, I haven't done the intensive research anywhere except in Medford, Oregon. Generally, the internal affairs records are not available to the public. And so it becomes difficult to ascertain whether this sort of stuff is going on or not. Interestingly enough, the one in the stack of internal affairs summaries I was given pertinent to Medford, Oregon, the one citizen whose complaint was honored, in the whole stack I had, one citizen complaint was honored. And that was a woman who was friendly with a former police officer who sat on the city council. And when she felt she wasn't getting the appropriate action from the department or from internal affairs, she called up her old buddy, who actually is on Rotary Club with her, and who sits on the city council, former police officer, and he took care of her problem. So it certainly shows, a good old boy network going on. My suspicion, Dr. Monteith, is that this is far more, this sort of disregard of our rights as citizens to protest against police misconduct is pretty pervasive.
Well, of course, we really need to know, though, because it's certainly my experience from our local police has always been a very, very positive one. So I think that we need to know rather than suspect, wouldn't you say?
Yes, we absolutely do.
And because it's unfortunate.
Go
right ahead. I mean, certainly we have to do the investigation. Unfortunately, we don't have the old-fashioned investigative reporters, and I know you can't do it all on your own, and we do not have those watchdogs out there, except from a couple of organizations, which are really rather irresponsible. So how are we going to solve the problem? We'll be back in just a moment with Janet Phelan as we wrap up this evening's program right here at Radio Liberty.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
God, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice cannot sleep forever. Well, we've taken God out of our courts, we've taken God and prayer out of our schools, we've taken the Ten Commandments out of our schools, and of course we can't even post there that thou shalt not kill, and then we wonder why our children are killing, and of course we wonder why we see the moral breakdown in our society, and the reason we do it is because, of course, they packed the Supreme Court with Masons, members of a secret society who worship another god, were intent upon destroying the Christian foundation of this country. And without a moral foundation, no society can long exist. We do hope that you'll want to get our little pamphlet. It's called We Are a Republic. You must understand we are not a democracy. We are a republic. And, of course, republic was built under the idea that God gave us our freedom. But we're not allowed to mention that in school today. And yet that is the message of the Declaration, and that is the preamble to the Constitution. You need to get the book by our good friend William Federer, that America's God and Country, a book by David Barton on our Christian heritage. The name escapes me, but just call and ask for David Barton's book. We have the foundation documents, the freedom documents. You have to understand that the Mayflower Compact and the writings of our founding fathers, there are about 40 of the freedom documents in this special document that was put together by our good friend Chuck Baldwin, Dr. Chuck Baldwin. The freedom documents. And then, of course, we have so many other things going into the Christian foundation of this country. One of the best of them is certainly John Stormer's book, Betrayed by the Bench. Betrayed by the Bench. And it goes into the background of the Supreme Court's decisions aimed at taking God out of our schools. We carry Paul Fisher's book, going into the background of the Supreme Court, just ask for Paul Fisher's book about how the Masons took over the United States Supreme Court. And then, of course, we have my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get it. You need to read it. It is the best primer I know on the spiritual forces that dominate America today. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. War. And then, of course, we do hope many of you out there will want to, of course, get the information that is available on our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And, of course, we hope you'll go there. You can watch our DVDs, read our newsletters. And then, of course, the book by Paul Fisher is called Behind the Lodge Door. You need to get the DVDs that tell about the secret societies that control our nation today. They start with the secret mystery of America's beginning, and then followed by the riddles in stone, the secret architecture of our nation's capital, followed by Eye of the Phoenix. Now you get all three of them together at a specially discounted price of a suggested gift of $59.95, or you can get them at about $25 each, suggested gift. But they're important to watch. It will give you the foundation to be able to intelligently discuss what's going on. You need to understand that we have millions of Masons. Most of them don't even understand Masonry, but they have all sworn an oath to the great architecture of the universe, who is Lucifer. And if you don't believe that, you need to get our writings on Masonry. You'll find that in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or so many of the other books we have on Masonry. Understand that we have millions of people in America who worship a different God, and most people don't even understand what's going on. Our ministers aren't going to tell us because they've infiltrated our seminaries, and unfortunately, so many of our ministers are totally unaware of the Gnostic foundation of modern-day belief. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.